Welcome to episode 474 of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that's taking a spin around the old nostalgia wagon. In this episode, we talk about Overcooked, The Simpsons Hit and Run, and past TV predicting future technology. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So drop your compact space pod and zip on over, because it's time for another spacey episode.
Do you have any more of that space?
We like to kick off every episode by going around the table, which is where we talk about things that are new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Lauren, why don't you kick us off this week?
Okay, cool. I'll probably be pretty short this week, only just a few things to mention, because I have been working. I'm getting ready for C2E2 this weekend, so I'll be in Chicago. If anyone is around, come say hello. I'll be at booth A7 in the Artist Alley. I'm excited for this one. It's always a cool show.
Does that mean you're the seventh artist to have signed up?
No, because I was on the wait list.
Okay. So the seventh artist dropped out.
It's a tier. I guess so. She's in the seventh tier of artists.
Well, it's the way that they have it is like, I'm getting in the weeds. Anyway, yeah, it's going to be cool. So I'm excited for C2E2.
Sounds like R2-D2?
I do think that's why she signed up for it, yeah. Being honest.
Are you going to go with C2E2?
I'll dress up as something, but I haven't figured out all those yet. Okay. But it's going to be a good time. So if you're in Chicago, come say hello. I'll have some MF1 stickers and all that good stuff.
Hey.
Of course.
Can I ask you this real quick? You're going to Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's not the question. Mm-hmm. What food do you intend to eat while in Chicago? Because there are some very specifically Chicago dishes.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I hadn't really thought about it yet because I've just been like focused on like being prepared and getting all this stuff done before I leave. Let me come back with an answer later because I'll think about it. After watching The Bear, I feel like I just want that like beef sandwich, you know?
That's right, the Italian beef sandwich.
Vienna beef.
That's definitely the first thing that like comes to mind. I'm not a big fan of Chicago pizza. So I'm going to say not that one.
Well, it's arguably not pizza. There's some really good shows about that. I will say, if you do like Italian shaved beef, I mentioned Matty Matheson a couple weeks ago. He actually dropped the episode where he explains how to make the Italian shaved beef sandwich from the show The Bear. Because he's literally on set making it for the show. So if you want to make that literal sandwich, the recipe's now online.
Well, hopefully I can do the shortcut version and just go to the store and have one.
I was going
to
say, I love the idea that you're going to go to Chicago and then buy all the ingredients to make it.
That was not my suggestion.
At my like Airbnb. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Will so, just describe Chicago pizza as he didn't say bready, but I'm going to add that, a bready sauce bowl.
Yeah, I'm also like, I'm from St. Louis and I like St. Louis style pizza. And I would say Chicago is literally the exact opposite of St. Louis style pizza. So like, just not my favorite.
Okay.
So pizza debate can continue at another time. But anyway, some other stuff that I've been doing this week. One of my friends took me to go see Clue at the Alley Theater, which is like the movie Clue or the game, you know, but it's a play version. A couple people were asking me, is it a musical? It is not a musical. It has great music involved, but it's not like meant to be. It's very funny, though. It is a comedy. And I would say like, My cousin asked if she could take her kids, and I think they're kind of young. There's definitely a lot of like PG-13 sex jokes, I would say. But like, other than that, like, it was very funny. It's a lot like the movie, I would say. Sure. So like, same kind of vibe where there's like definitely humor where it's like, I didn't understand it when I was younger, so you can get away with it. But yeah, I thought it was a really fun show. So if you live in Houston, Clue will be at the Alley Theater for I think the rest of August. So it was a really fun show. And if you like the movie, this is a great play.
Okay.
That's fun.
Clue is one of my favorite. It's like Clue,
yeah.
And then I think Real Genius. No, I'm thinking of that kind of style of comedy.
Yeah, sure.
Clue and like Real Genius are like vie for position beside each other for sure. But
I haven't seen the movie like a lot. Like my friends that I went with have like grew up watching it, and I've only seen it like a couple times. But I did feel like remember. like enough. And I felt like they did a good job of making the play like different. So you're not like repeating all the same jokes exactly, or like expecting everything exactly how it would be in the movie. But it was a really good time. So definitely would recommend that. And then like two other big things this week. So my family is all in town. So that's kind of like taken up a lot of my time this week to hang out with them, which is great though. And they are in town to celebrate the fact that my cousin, Eric Cochran, released a documentary film, which is now available on like Amazon Prime and Google Play and Apple TV. So if you would like to check it out, it is called Landis, Just Watch Me. And it is a documentary about this kid, Landis Sims, who was born without hands or feet, but has learned to play baseball. And he's amazing. He's really good at it. And it's like my cousin literally filmed him from when he was like 8 years old till he's 18. And so it has like footage of him like growing up and practicing and like getting new prosthetics throughout his life to like learn how to play baseball better.
Good at baseball at 8 years old? Or did he just get really lucky in terms of like filming the right kid?
I think it was definitely like filming the right kid a little bit, but it was also that like this is the thing that he loves the most. So like that's all he would talk about. That's all he does. And like it was pretty incredible to even to see him, what he was doing then. And then like what he's doing now is also amazing. It's a really good documentary. So if you have some time, I would definitely recommend checking it out. Like I said, it's on Amazon and Apple TV. You can just watch it, and it's called Landis, Just Watch Me.
Did you like the documentary?
Oh, yeah, I really liked it. I've seen it a few times because I helped with some of the graphics and stuff, but I really like the story. I think it's, like, really incredible, and Eric's really talented, so, like, everyone should just check it out because it's really great. It'll probably make you cry. Like, everyone at the screening was crying.
That's the only reason I'm not
going
to watch it.
Pass.
I can only feel emotion 3 times a year. And I, like,
yeah, it'll
the problem
get
is I'm already at 2 for this year, and I just can't, put in.
And
third.
Both of those were the Wakanda Forever trailer.
Yeah. <it's>, so I have to save that last one for like some other time. Like I just can't, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you need a good cry, this could spark it for you. So it was great though. And then the kind of other thing I've been like working on that I just kind of like feel like is worth mentioning. So I've been trying to like update my Game of Thrones bingo that I did for the last couple seasons of Game of Thrones to be ready for House of the Dragon. And I've just gone down this like totally insane rabbit hole for the last like several days. That's like the craziest, like, dive that I've ever done trying to like figure this much stuff out before a show comes out. And like to the point where like I'm looking at like paparazzi and like spy photos from sets trying to figure out like, oh, what is this guy's haircut? Cause like I know this character will be important and this is the actor, but I can't figure out what they look like in the show because they haven't released like quite enough stuff yet. But it's been like a really interesting kind of like mystery game trying to figure out all this stuff, you know, before the show actually comes out, because the last times I did this, it was several seasons in. And so like, I at least knew the main cast, what they sort of dress like, what their haircuts are, you know, like for the most part, some people would change some things through the seasons, but like not enough. There's like, I don't even recognize who that is, but like, this is very tar. This has gotten very hard, but I'm getting to the point where like, I only have a few left. So like, I'm going to get there, but it's just been like a very funny thing to me trying to like suss this all out.
Andrew, that should make you feel good.
What?
What's in chat right now?
I didn't see what's in chat right now.
Sorry, Lauren. I apologize for cutting you. Are you going to come back with your findings and like tell us all of this?
I mean, I could literally like give you like a whole, like I could talk for like an hour
not
on like
now,
my
please. Please
my theories.
Now.
I know.
But
I'm not going to.
That sounds
but
it's like a
standalone. Like, the obstacles I have like reached now are like, there's things where like the show is set to like cover enough of a time span that there's more than one actor who plays each person. So that kind of thing, I'm like, well, how long is it? Like, I don't even have any information. It's so hard.
Okay. Well, Lauren will put together her 1 hour video. We'll drop it on YouTube where she breaks all of this down, and she's going to be dressed like what's his name from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and going to have the big wall behind. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'm definitely like ready for that at this point because I'm also trying. Yeah, it's just gotten so far down the road now where I'm like, OK, how do I figure out the like characters that like are important enough that they should be on the board, and but like definitely die within the first season because like someone has to win.
That seems like you doing that. I get that there's a bit where you could feel like part of this is part of the excitement, but then there's another part of me that's like, you could be potentially ruining your own experience of actually watching the show by trying to dig too deep this early on. Because you've given Patrick shit before about him reading ahead.
Oh yeah, to learn things. I've definitely so, like, spoiled some stuff for sure. But right. That, like, I'm okay. But I'm used to like Game of Thrones as a book reader anyway. So like, I'm used to knowing some things ahead of time anyway. So it doesn't bother me as much. And I still like. I definitely know like a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have known otherwise, but like, I think that it'll be like fun. Like making the game is really fun. And like having that for them the last season was like so good. So like, I want to be ready.
I mean, if you're totally wrong, you won't have spoiled anything.
That's true.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, yeah, that it'll be so like, I am like going to be like, okay, I know that like, as soon as I watch the show, half the things I'm going to be like, oh damn it. They only wore that outfit for one scene or something. Cause like, I'm trying to like figure out like there's definitely like outfits people have from like the last few seasons.
1 hour YouTube video, 1 hour YouTube video. I'll help you film it. But that's what it is.
Yeah. But anyway, like, it's just been like something like funny that I've just spent an insane amount of time thinking about this week. So I am very, very excited for that show. And it's going to be great when it comes out, I think. So,
okay.
Is that it? I'm going to be ready with bingo for everybody.
Deal. Is that it for you?
I do have one last thing. So I got a package from Doc and I figured I could open it right now. I just got it today.
You can. I can telepathically tell you what's inside of it, but also. Go ahead and open
I know,
it.
But this is nice. Thank you, Doc.
And by the way, for those watching right now, I think everybody's aware, but for those that are listening that are not aware, what she's about to open, you also can get this. All you have to do is jump in Slack, DM Doc. I am Reedakiss, I think is his name. And he will send this out to you as well. This is something that as a community, we're kind of like collectively testing together. And we've got a longer video coming out with our own like personal testing. So,
yeah.
All right. What you got, Lauren?
First of all, Doc has really cool stationery.
Doc,
says,
you can
Hello,
send more out.
From
Calm
the
down.
Desk of Doc Reed. This is so cute. And then it has like a guide for which paper is which. And it has little marks in the bottom corner, so that will help with everything. And there's a few sheets of it all, and he packed it up really nice. So I'm excited to try this out.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. We having personally drawn on all of those pieces of paper, I'm excited.
Oh, the stone paper feels so weird.
Yeah,
drawing.
I'm excited for other people to get their hands on
it's
it.
It's like
and do
rubbing
stuff.
Two ice cubes together when you draw on it, right, Andrew?
I can't say I've had that experience personally, but
okay,
and that's the whole story.
Yeah, but that'll be it for me. I'm excited to try out that paper and say hi if you guys are in Chicago.
Yay! Okay.
Who are you throwing it to?
Okay,
Andrew, I need to hear about all of your eating adventures.
Okay, so I'm gonna rapid fire through these things because just like last week, I have a ton of show and tell things. So. First and foremost, last week I talked about the Goofy Movie game. I have played it. I'm not going to give like an in-depth review. Quick review is that it's fun family game. Anyone can really pick it up and play it. Becca and I played the whole game in 20 minutes, maybe max. So max.
if you could use one word to describe it, what would it be?
Fun.
Well, I thought you'd say goofy. Go ahead.
Well, you should have set me up a little better than that. on the trail of Disney, picked these up today for my friend JP, specifically for his wife. But these are the brand new Mickey ears that are, I guess they're mini ears, but they are Mickey bar and they're scented like chocolate. So if you remember those stickers got or those markers that you got in elementary school that were scented, the chocolate, that's what this smells like.
That's crazy.
Describe that a little bit better for the people listening.
So for the people listening, you should be watching the Twitch. But for the people listening, this is it's like a leather. It's Loungefly. It's Disney and Loungefly.
Of course.
The ears are leather and has Mickey bars all over them. Some of the Mickey bars have a bite taken out of them. Some of them are whole. Yeah. And then the bow is a chocolate colored where it's like the chocolate is dripping down and it's multicolored leather. And then there's a little Mickey bar, like rubber thing pendant thing right here.
Right in the center of the bow. Yeah.
And again, it's fuzzy here. Like the inside of it is fuzzy and really comfortable. And then, like I said, the whole ears smell like chocolate.
That's awesome.
So that's pretty rad. So there's that. We happened to be at Disney on Wednesday of last week, which just so happened to be the day they dropped the brand new Magic Band Plus, which has been a highly anticipated object. They had been promoting this for, I think, since like two D23s ago, talking about these different.
Like, it's like D46.
Yeah.
Well, the next one's coming up soon.
It is. So they got them out just in time. But Magic Bands, the Magic Band system has been around for a while. And actually, Disneyland is getting ready to adopt it with the launch of these. They will be adopting it soon. But these new ones that they just came out with have more features to it. So this is what mine looks like. It's got a face on it, and all of them have a different face on them. And then the entire thing is backlit with multicolored LEDs. And you actually have a panel inside of your My Disney Experience app that you can customize the colors that show up on here.
That's fun.
And so in addition to having there be different colors when you scan, it also has haptic feedback now. So it actually moves on your wrist, so you know when things are happening. And there are additional features where you can go around the park and you can interact with things and do different games at the different parks.
Okay.
Which is cool. And it works in conjunction with your Disney Play app for some of those things, like at Galaxy's Edge, there's this whole bounty hunter game that you can do where you go around and look for these bounty hunter, like spray painted graffiti bounty hunter symbols all over Batuu. And if you walk up to them and you scan them with your watch, you scan the data pad with your
Magic Band Plus.
Yes, your Magic Band Plus, you get bounty. You can find, track down, and capture bounties on different bounty hunters around.
Oh, that's really cool.
Or on different criminals around Batuu. So they have right now. There's maybe 15 to 20 different designs. This is the one that I got. Like I said, it's Mickey. It's Mickey's face, and I'll show you kind of how it lights up. It
looks nice.
Let's see if it'll light up. There we go. Mm-hmm. So cute. Lights up. It's really nice. Yeah.
I mean, the last ones were just a solid color, right?
Yeah, they were just a solid color. They didn't do anything. You couldn't. There was no physical feedback to them whatsoever. Right. They were just what they would interact with would light up.
They looked like a watch band, but they didn't have a watch. It was just like a band that went around.
Yes, exactly. So you can change all the colors. You can do all that stuff on here. And then this is the one that Becca got. And it's actually right now it's currently in the charging port. So it comes with a little USB charging port because they are battery. But hers is a special edition, like 50th anniversary.
That's cute.
Watch face. And that's even so nice. the 50th. So different bands have different customizable options. So yeah. She has functionality, color functionality that I don't have. Because hers is 50th anniversary and hers has 50th anniversary, like celebration colors.
It has like colors that aren't even in the spectrum.
Yeah, they invented new colors. Disney invented new colors for them. So anyway.
I'm surprised they didn't go like full on like e-ink display or something.
That's funny that you say that because that was one of these suggestions. My friend Jonathan, who went with me. Scrumblekins, friend of the show.
Yeah.
He was asking if the face was e-ink, and I said no, but that would have been really cool.
Yeah. I mean, so do they... I know that at some of the hotels, if you stay at, they give you a Magic Band. But otherwise, do you have to purchase one?
They don't do that anymore. They stopped doing that about 2 years ago, year and a half ago, where they stopped providing them. And then they stopped producing new ones really much at all for the last year because they've been in preparation for launching this Magic Band Plus. So it's a really cool deal. And so we just happened to be the day that they rolled out. So we got a couple of them. Nice. There's one that I have my eye on, but I think you can only get it at Magic Kingdom. right now, and it's the Partners statue. I really want that one, but they didn't have that at Epcot where we were when they rolled out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Epcot, when they rolled out, we got to ride Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, and that is the brand new roller coaster at Epcot. It's only like what, 2 months old now, and not even like a month and a half old. Got to do that, and what actually happened is the first couple of like the first minute into the ride before it like really kind of kicks off, the intro had just finished. We were facing backwards and we're getting ready to start this ride, and all of a sudden everything just paused. And the screen was black around us, everything was black. And then we heard over the speakers,
please stay in your Doom buggy.
Kind of, but not Doom buggy. Okay. And then we just heard someone go, "Work lights are coming on." And all of the work lights came on. And we were able to see everything. And it was wild being able to see that. It's crazy how I posted pictures of it online on my Instagram. So if you go and look at it, it's crazy how bare it is in there. And they do such an incredible job of turning what is essentially a big empty theater with a handful of lights into space. And you're floating through space, and you don't see any of the workings that go on. It's crazy to me to think that that just the right kind of lighting or lack thereof can totally transport you into this other place.
It genuinely, because I was a bit surprised. It was a bit more unkempt than I expected. I mean, it's clean. Don't get me wrong, it's clean. But it looked like...
Cable management was not great.
Exactly. Imagine you walked into like an empty carpeted auditorium, but it's completely empty. Mm-hmm. No chairs, no nothing.
Just and no one auditorium. Had been in there for like a month.
But there's like one speaker set in the center of the room, but then there's like a coil of cable beside it, which was so odd to me. And you just had these little bitty like individual looking speakers. Or like you only see three lights in the picture, like on the floor. Yeah. But I was surprised that like the cable was just... kind of loosely strewn about. Like I was a bit disappointed slightly.
And it was, and so you could look, what you couldn't see was down below the track was like an 8 foot deep trench that had hallways, where like all the work stuff would go, and there's doors and stuff like that. So that's all below the track. So we sat there for a couple of minutes, and then
how long were you stuck there? Total.
So about 3 or 4 minutes.
Not bad.
With the lights on, and then they turned the lights back off. They said, "Work lights are shutting off." And they said, please remain seated. Your car may start at any moment." And so for like a 60 seconds, a minute and a half, we're sitting there talking, and then they're not kidding. Where we paused was the split second before the thing launches you backwards into the actual ride. And so we're just sitting there talking, and the next thing we knew, everything was back on full blast and we were shooting backwards. It scared the shit.
Oh my gosh.
But because of this, so then we rode the whole ride and everything was great and it was super fun and so unique and so different. But because it shut down on us, when we got to the end, they loaded a lightning lane for us to ride it again at any other point during the day. Our ride was encumbered, right? Like there was an issue with it. And so to make good on it, they allowed us to go back on it again. Well, Becca and Ashley didn't want to ride it again. Ashley was a little queasy after the first go, and Becca was feeling a little tired. So not only did Jonathan and I get to ride it a second time, but then we took their phones and used their lightning lanes to check in for a third time. So we got to ride it three times in one day and got to hear three different songs. So we had three slightly different experiences. Yeah, it's different. I think there's seven different experiences you can have.
That's cool. I love that.
It's so fun. It's honestly, if Disney made Space Mountain now, that's what it would be. You feel like you're floating through space. The effects are insane.
How are your knees?
It's great. There's plenty of space for you. You would love this.
Well, that's not the Space Mountain.
Oh, I was like, what do you mean?
you would fit and you would enjoy it. I think you would love it so much. So it's so smooth. Like it's so smooth. You feel like you're floating. It's crazy. You don't feel like you're on a track at all. it's really, really nice how they, and the effects and how they do it. It's really fantastic. The queue is really cool too. They transport you kind of like a beam me up, Scotty, from Earth to this kind of docking ship that's kind of just outside of our orbit. And the way they do that, you're hosted by Terry Crews and, what's her name from, 101 Dalmatians.
Glenn Close.
Yeah. So you've got Glenn Close, you've got Glenn Close and you've got Terry Crews as kind of your hosts.
Does Terry Crews like play a character in Guardians or does he play like Terry Crews?
No, he plays a character in Guardians. He's
Okay.
Yeah. He's part of the Nova Corps. He's part of the Nova Corps. Like,
I remember Glenn Close is like Nova Prime.
Yeah. So, So he's on her team.
It was.
Anyway, I won't tell you like what happens in the ride, but, the transport from you from Earth to the spaceship is insane. Like the first time it happened, we were like, wait a minute. What? Kind of like that feeling that you would have had when you were a little kid riding Haunted Mansion when they're like, there's no windows and no doors. And you're looking around going like, wait, we just walked in here. Where are the doors? It's like that, but like ramped up because I'm an adult and I should have known what just happened. But all of a sudden I'm in a totally different place. The magic of Disney is in full force on this ride. So I didn't get sick at all. I absolutely loved it. I could have ridden it all day long. I 100% recommend it.
I would just swallow it.
See, just swallow it. We did go out to dinner with Jay Ratner and he told us a not so appetizing story about his wife and the guy in front of her who threw up while it was going through a tunnel and it just,
oh my God. That's horrifying.
What does the mouse do for you if that happens?
They gave her a voucher to replace all of her clothes. She could go get whatever she wanted from the gift shop. So they made good for her. Anyway,
the only thing that jumping from Disney is the lederhosen in Epcot.
I've never considered that that's something that could actually happen until right now. Like that's horrifying.
Throwing up on a person?
Like that.
Yeah, it's aggressive because it moves so fast too. If you throw up at the front in the tunnel, I mean, where is it gonna go? It just behind you.
No.
Imagine how much it stays in your mouth and you can't like evacuate it.
I know, and then you swallow it and poop it out later.
Let's talk about something else.
Speaking of that, so I went back to Gideon's and today I went back to Gideon's because it's the start of a new month, August 1st, which means there's a whole new fun new cookie featured. And so this month is key lime. And so what I'm going to show, I'm not going to show you any of the cookies because there's a lot of them in here, but I got 8 cookies and they come in these boxes.
Oh my gosh. 8 huge.
8 cookies when each cookie weighs a half pound means I have, do the math with me,
four pounds of cookie
right here that I have to take back with me on the plane tomorrow because I'm bringing cookies back to.
Am I picking you up from the airport?
No, my car's there.
Ooh, oh my gosh.
I can tell you this. I did try some of the key lime one today, and this sentiment is absolutely true. Delicious things await.
I like the box a lot.
The box is really cool. And when you get more than 3 cookies, it comes with a random trading card. And since I got 8 cookies, I got 2. And so these are 2 of the trading cards. This is like the lemon character. Her name is Bonnie Bear or Bonnie Bray. Bonnie Bray. And then, this is some cat, Adeline. I don't know. But they have all these, trading cards that I had mentioned several months ago.
Mm-hmm. How many do you have now?
I have 3.
Can you, because typically I don't buy one of mine and go get a key lime.
What?
I'm just kidding. I want a bite of the key lime.
I got 2 key lime.
Oh my word. I just can't believe I missed that whole conversation today.
I know. I asked Patrick and Mackenzie which one they wanted, and Mackenzie was quick to answer, and Patrick answered like 3 hours later.
I was on a meeting, and I couldn't, and I came out of the meeting to have my heart crushed.
Yeah. Aww. But it's okay. There's cookies to choose from, so you're
coffee fine. Cake! How's that what someone would choose ever?
I'm telling you, it's my favorite cookie I've ever eaten.
And the other cookie was the cookie last week on the episode. I said I would never eat that cookie.
What?
That one's for Mackenzie. She got that one.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So I got you covered. There's a cookies and cream. There's a key lime. There's and just like a traditional like chocolate chip with sea salt. So you're fine.
Very judgmental of these cookies that you're.
I know. He's never even tried them.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to eat garbage. Like if I'm going to have a Gideon's cookies, I'm going to have the one I want. Or I'm not going to have it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, do you see what Kate Carlton's saying?
I'm privileged. Coffee cake is so good.
It sounds really good.
It's legitimately the best. And they limit you. You can only get two of them because they sell out every day. So it's not just me and it's not just Kate. Like, everyone loves the coffee cake one. So
sounds good. I like coffee.
Anyway,
it'll have an opportunity to change my mind.
That was a lot. But there's just been so much. There's been so much stuff. And I can't wait for you to experience these Gideon cookies. But for now, I'm going to hand it over to you, Patrick.
Oh, my word. I have one thing I'm going to share. This is consider this, it's a hard knock. It's some learning, and it's some learning you can do vicariously instead of having to do it yourself. That's a good way to think about it. I want to be clear, and Mackenzie's in chat. This is going to involve Mackenzie. But I think Mackenzie will tell you there was no wailing or anything like that. It was all very calm, level-headed. And that's important for me to say before I do the story. And I need to add a little bit of context to this. It's going to be very quickly apparent where this is going. So prior to telling it, I'll add a bit of context. I do have a freelance job I'm doing now. This is a larger job. But I wasn't that far into it. I mean, I had done probably 4 hours of planning and another 8 hours of development. So I was probably 12 hours into the job. But I'm not doing that on my machine. If you remember on the podcast a couple weeks ago, I talked about this PC that I just built. Because like my computer situation changed, I built this PC. And there was the story goes that I had been working on this project on my wife's laptop, on Mackenzie's laptop, downstairs. So I could hang out with her downstairs, work on a project, and then I just have to push stuff live and or push stuff up somewhere and pull it back down on the PC to actually.
So you can hang out with her downstairs?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yes. Oh, okay. Honestly? However you want to take that is true. So anyway, I've been working on this project. Okay, so now let's shift gears. Apple has something called Find My. It used to be called Find My Phone, which was very clear what the service provided. Now it's just called Find My. They could do better than that. But the idea is that you can find your phone or your watch or your computer, all that kind of stuff. And you just open the app, and as long as you have that enabled, it shows you where this stuff is. So if you're logged in on multiple devices, it'll show you where your devices are. The thing is, if someone was to steal one of your devices, you may not want them to have access to the stuff on your computer. That might be personal or sensitive. And so yes. Find My allows you not only to find your device, but in the case it can't be recovered, it allows you to remotely wipe all the data on that device. Should be very obvious where this is going.
I feel like it is, but
you could probably fill in these gaps pretty simply. So Mackenzie has a new MacBook Air. This is the M2 that just came out. We've had it like a week and a half. We've had it a little bit longer than that.
Like 3 weeks.
Something like that. Yeah. Long enough for me to work on this project several times sitting on it. But her previous computer was also a MacBook Air. So she had two MacBook Airs. So in her Find My, she had two MacBook Airs listed. Her intent was to disconnect the other MacBook Air. She disconnected the new one, and I didn't see the UI, and I it's easy mistake to make. For her, delete was delete the connection. In Find My, delete is like delete the device, and so yes. She remotely wiped her entire device that she's had.
Oh
for
my,
that sucks.
So I lost all that, right? So the 12 hours or whatever I put into that is gone. I already rebuilt it. I rebuilt it over the weekend. That's what I was doing on Saturday and Sunday. And then she lost like 300 gigs of stuff that she had on her computer.
Oh, no.
And she did not have a backup. And it turns out a lot of the programs she works in are not cloud-based programs. I didn't know such a thing existed. I'm told that this exists, non-cloud-based
programs.
I mean,
I don't use it all the time either, so yeah. That sucks.
But, however, what is good, I say she didn't have a backup. She had made a copy initially to transfer everything to the computer, and then she handed it off to another friend who was getting her old computer and was basically like, you can wipe this drive and you can use it to transfer your data over. Thankfully, that friend never actually wiped the drive and still had not set up his computer. And so she actually was able to go get the hard drive from his house, bring it back. It still had her backup. So she lost the last however many weeks of work.
Lucky.
But she didn't lose everything. So the only person that lost everything was me. But that's totally fine. So anyway, that's a fun story.
So
easy fix to everybody involved. Number one, just double read any type of pop-ups, modals, confirmation messages, etc. Number two, if services offer a cloud option, utilize the cloud option. I mean, the whole point is that you have online distributed storage that you can access from multiple places, and they have to maintain redundancy, backup, and uptime and all that other kind of stuff. And then for anything that there isn't cloud storage available, utilize a program like Backblaze to back it up. I mean, Backblaze is very inexpensive. We're talking like $9 a month, and it'll like back up your entire computer to a cloud service, like make snapshots of it and stuff like that. So you can certainly use like a Time Machine backup and push it up to iCloud, but you could also utilize a service like Backblaze if you're not on the Apple ecosystem, or maybe for less money. So make sure that you do all of those things. Outside of that, I started watching a brand new, never before heard of show called The Umbrella Academy, but I'm not going to talk
about
it here.
You actually started watching it? I thought you were just messing with Lauren.
I'm 7 episodes into it, the first season. Wow.
I was like, yeah, I knew this from when we did D&D, but yeah, I'm so excited. 6 episodes, what do you think
in,
so far?
7 episodes in. But yeah, the point is, watching Umbrella Academy, it's amazing, but I'll save my thoughts because I'm trying to get into, they didn't drop all season 3 at once, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, well, I was trying to get caught up while season 3 was happening because it's only been out a little bit. But the point is,
it is Netflix, so
I'll get in the conversation. And once I get in the conversation, like once I get caught up, we'll have a bit of a chat about it. But that's it for me. Andrew, you can throw us to the next segment.
Okay. Well, I have been in your last few minutes of chatting. I have started my my drawing, your prompt that you gave. So for anybody who's following along in the Twitch channel, be drawing your character. Because at the end of this, we want to see what you guys have been working on. Even if it's not finished at the end, we want to see what you guys are sketching while we're talking. So anyway, that being said, we're going to jump out of the around the table and we're going to head over into our master categories. Every week, our master categories are when we get to talk about the dice we rolled the week before. That gives us our categories. We pick our topics based on those categories. And Patrick, I'd like to hear about what you're talking about because you have intrigued me with your title.
Oh, I know. Okay, so at the beginning, you would have heard we're talking about The Simpsons Hit and Run, which is probably an interesting thing to say as that game has we were talking about CC's Pizza a few weeks ago, and we were talking about Hit and Run in the context of playing it at CC's Pizza, correct? It's been out for a minute. So
I know it's a driving game, but I can't remember the context of the game.
Okay, great. So it is a driving game, takes place in Springfield. You have it's not necessarily very large, but you can play, I believe, as all the primary family characters. You're able to drive all through the maps. You're able to go through like Mr. Burns' mansion and through like the power plant and things like that. I only ever drove around. I didn't do any of the missions or subplots, but I believe there's like seven or eight levels to the game. And given the Simpsons style, like it lent itself very well to an animated game. Like at the time, I remember loving how faithful it looked. So here's what's happened. There's a guy named Reebs. That's good enough. There's a guy named Reebs on YouTube, and he works in Unreal Engine, and then I imagine also in Blender as well. And he has decided as a project, he does projects on his YouTube channel, he's decided as a project to remake The Simpsons Hit and Run, but remake it as an open world game. So instead of playing individual levels or individual missions, it's almost like GTA style. You can move around everywhere. And so he has, I think he's dropped 3 videos so far. The videos aren't terribly... four videos so far. The videos are about 18 minutes apiece, so they're not terribly long. You'll be able to get caught up pretty quickly. But he's walking through the three in the last month. He's walking through his process as he does it. So he's showing you how he gets the original game files. He shows you how he takes that and extrapolates that into a map. He shows you how he pulls out character assets, some of the stuff he has to remodel. They have designers in the community that are reskinning and up-resing textures and things like that. There are mechanics that obviously didn't exist in the original game that he's bringing into the game. The latest video, he actually brings in dynamic weather, and he brings in night mode, so he's adding lights to all the vehicles and things like that. It's just fascinating to watch.
Wow.
And it's amazing how much you can accomplish given his deep knowledge of what he's doing, seemingly very quickly. I mean, I think genuinely each video is representing a day or two of work. So it's not like this isn't like a project he's been working on for months and months and months. I think it's a project that he's so far spent like maybe the equivalent of a week on. And he has the entire world already built, all the characters, all the vehicles, dynamic weather, day and night cycles. Like, he has all this stuff already existing.
That's crazy.
All of the, not just the standard assets, but then all of these like tertiary assets, like crossing signs and phone booths and trees and coins and all this stuff. And there's one part of it which is remaking this. There's a second part of programmatically or dynamically populating the environment from the original game file. So he's not going through and like hand placing all of these things, because that would take hours and hours and hours. And so there's actually a process of like basically converting this straight from the original code or again, original files. It's just fascinating to watch.
And yeah.
If minimum, you probably like The Simpsons or at least have okay feelings about it. So that combination of a property you probably enjoy or a game that you might have very nostalgic memories of, mixed with like actual like technical knowledge and showing you the interface as what Unreal 5 is capable of or what Blender is capable of, getting to see some of that tech process. Certainly it's very high level because these videos are only 18 minutes, so this isn't like necessarily a tutorial, but it is a high level guide.
You can't immediately turn around and do what he's doing because he's not walking you through step by step.
But you'll know all the words you would need to Google to do what he's doing. Like, he gives you enough of like the high level outline that you know, like, oh, so this is step one, this is step two, this is step three. So you potentially could use this as like a cursory start. Cursory, not cursory. cursory start to doing something like this. In fact, I've enjoyed this series so much that I've installed Blender and Unreal 5 on my PC. I haven't done anything yet, but I do now have...
I was like, what game are you going to remake?
I just want to make a box. That's step one. And it's going to be the best box you've ever seen. But it has been very inspiring.
I've seen some pretty good boxes.
I don't know if... it's fine. I don't know if either of y'all have watched Captain Disillusion. I'm sure like people in our chat have watched. I guarantee you like a Kreider or a Jedi, someone like that, has seen Captain Disillusion. Captain Disillusion is someone that initially the reason I started watching him is because he takes... like viral videos and he debunks them. So I think that's probably what a lot of people know him from, is that he'll find a video circulating the internet and he'll, you know, spend 30 minutes explaining why what you just saw was fake and like breaking it down. But he also does some really in-depth conversations, like color theory tutorials and giving information about like a lot of, not like Blender tutorials necessarily, but all the work he does is in Blender. And so he will give you a lot of kind of like gritty detail, at least very fast. And he's very fun to watch. But one of the things that he talks about, he actually did a talk at a Blender event, and he talked about watching these shows when he was younger and seeing these, as he was growing up, and seeing these like... these scenes that were CGI that were done in Blender or were done in an application, like an application you could download on your computer. And he said, realizing that I'm watching this on TV and I can go download this on my computer. And I, like, the only thing separating me from creating that is like time and effort, right? And then I could be making something that is worthy of that.
I can do it.
So that the idea is that access. And so I was listening to him talk about that yesterday, but that's kind of how this series has made me feel. It's just this understanding of how accessible so much stuff is to all of us if we just invest time and effort. And so anyway, that is the series by, it's either Reeves or Rubes. It's spelled R-E-U-B-S, but if you just look up Simpsons Hit and Run, that'll probably be the first thing that pops up. But it's remaking the Simpsons Hit and Run. If you look it up, there's specifically, so there's one video from about a year ago, but in the last month, about once a week, he's posting a video that's the actual remake. So I would say start watching those, go through those remakes. And the last one was posted just 6 days ago. So hopefully in the next week or so, we'll have another video coming out. But it's just a fascinating, fascinating watch. Yeah, Kreider says that sounds incredible. Can't wait to fall down this YouTube hole. Yeah.
What was this person's name again?
The R-E-U-B-S.
Rubes.
It's like Rubes or Reebs.
Yeah.
And then the other one I mentioned, again, we didn't talk about any of his stuff, but Captain Disillusion is just someone else that if you want to have a fun touch point to something that's actually a very technical craft, that is a great channel to start falling into. Very, very great channel.
Okay.
So cool. That's it for me. Lauren, what are you mastering? What are you mastering?
I'm going to talk about Overcooked. Have you guys ever played this game?
I have seen it. I think Cooper plays it.
Yeah. It's a pretty popular game. I had games from last time I got four, so I can do any game that I want. I love Overcooked, and I've been playing it again recently. And so I thought it would be fun to talk about. It's like I said, a very popular game. You can play, I think you can play a version of it on pretty much any console that exists right now. If you have certain consoles, there are more versions, but there's like at least like Overcooked 1 and 2 available, I think, on like Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, etc. So like if you want to try this out, it's also a very inexpensive game. Like I bought one with like a bunch of extra stuff and it was only like $20. So like really fun little game. And it's kind of like a kitchen simulation game where like you get a recipe and then you have to, like chop your ingredients, cook your ingredients, put it together, and serve it on time before your like customers walk away or whatever. You also have to like clean the dishes and that kind of stuff. And I think what's kind of like unique about this game is that like you are able to play it by yourself as long as you want to, but I think the game like really becomes like the most fun and enjoyable as soon as you start playing with other people. I didn't understand because I just bought the game on a whim the first time that I played, and so like I powered through like a ridiculous amount of that game on my own, like an inappropriate amount of that game, because even when you play alone, you have to play as two characters, so you're like switching back and forth between the two cooks, you know, and it's really hard when you're playing by yourself. So I'm pretty good at this game. But as soon as you start playing with other people, that's like when it becomes fun, because like it's 100% meant to be cooperative, and you can play with people. I played on Switch, so you can play with people in the room or online. I think in the room is a lot more fun because like if you can't communicate by like speaking with the people that you're playing with, it's almost impossible to get ahead. Cause like if you're playing in the room, you're going to be like yelling at each other, and not like a mean way, but like okay, you got to get the dishes. You give me the cheese. We got to put the pizza in the oven. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Okay. Now we get the dishes again. Oh no, the thing shifted. You got to get this. This is on fire. Get it, get it, get it. And so like, it's just one of those things where like you have to work together to be good at it. And it's like, I don't find it like stressful because the levels are really short, and so like even if you lose, you can like try again really quickly, and it is kind of funny because like if you do bad enough, you can set like the whole kitchen on fire, or like set like it'll just fall apart and all kinds of crazy stuff. So like it's just like a very fun game to play. I really, really enjoy it. You can play with up to four people, and I think it's like a really good for like any level of gamer and that kind of thing. Like you don't need a lot of like gaming experience to understand how to play. There are like two functions where it's like moving, and then like picking stuff up and setting it down. That's basically like all you can really do. And like the same button will do like, you know, like the chopping and the cooking and all that kind of stuff. And there's little timers for everything. So it's a super fun game. Very addictive.
Everyone can perform all the actions.
Yeah. Okay. But like sometimes like the game gets really hard really quickly. And so like sometimes there's things where like the platforms are moving that the kitchen parts are on. So like you might get stuck on the part with only oven. So you have to like pass the food to the other people once it comes together. Like you definitely have to like work together really like a lot in certain levels to get anywhere. Yeah. Which is why I say like when I was playing by myself, it was absolutely ridiculous and stupid that I got as far as I did because I just powered through because I did not. I was just like, well, if you can play it by yourself, it must be possible. No, I don't know why I tried this, like why I stuck it out so hard. Because I think the game is really fun. I just thought it was like really ridiculously hard. But once you start playing with other people, like I said, it becomes not only easier, but like just so much more fun to like play with everybody. And everyone I've ever played with like has had a really good time. So I think it's like easy to learn, really fun to play with like a big group. You can pass off really quickly. So if you have more than four people, you won't get bored either. You know, you can just like trade off really quickly. So absolutely, just like a really fun, great game. The one I like the most is Overcooked 2. I think you kind of get the most like bang for your buck of what you're paying for with like the amount of levels and like extra stuff you can get right now. But I think all of them are good and like you won't be like upset that you spent the money on any of them.
Okay. Overcooked. What's the likelihood if I play this with friends, they will throw a controller at my TV?
Oh, I've never played with anybody who got like angry about it.
You're not playing with the right people. We take games serious.
Yeah, we
win. I've never even seen somebody like throw it down. We've just been like collectively like, oh, this is so hard. We've got to try again. It's more like that kind of feeling.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren,
yeah,
that was perfect timing. Perfect timing.
I think you also have a lot of time now, Lauren, to get in your drawing, because I think Andrew just had all his time to do his.
I guess that's true.
I was rushing to get things finished. I was hoping neither one of you would throw it, or that you wouldn't throw it to me, Patrick, because I needed to finish before I started talking.
Oh, I see it.
So, I got TV, and I specifically got past TV. So I'm going to do a couple of things. I'm going to show you a character from this TV show. This is a little bit of a cheat because this is not my favorite TV show that I had growing up, but it works perfectly with what I'm talking about. And so, yesterday, if you're watching this right now, or if you're tuning in while we're recording this, yesterday was a very special day. It was a very special character's birthday. July 31st, 2022 was the birthday of the beloved Astro Father, George Jetson.
Meet and so George Jetson.
Here's my
Jane.
My
his
quick,
wife.
Nice.
My quick George Jetson while you guys were chatting.
Can I tell you why I like the Jetsons?
Yes.
Tell me.
Because in the show, George works at the plant. Or at least I know in the
Stop. Don't talk. No, don't say anything else.
I have
don't
to tell you else. Why I like it.
No, don't. Come back to it. Because I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a trivia thing with this. So don't say
this
anything that's going to give away trivia stuff.
Okay, I've already said all I have to say about the show.
Oh, okay. Then what is it?
Now the next part. Where my dad worked, they called the trust plant. And so as a kid, my dad worked at a plant and George Jetson worked at a plant. And that is why I enjoyed watching the show.
Oh,
so thanks for trying to.
Now
cut
I know
off,
trivia about Patrick's family.
Patrick, you are notorious for ruining things right before I say them. So I was trying to cut you off for your own sake.
His wife's name is Jane. Go ahead.
Okay. So that's a very sweet story about you and your dad. I will remind. Well, that's fine. So he turned the show. Turned what the show debuted in 1962, so that would be 46. It's a 60 year old show. I think that qualifies as a past show. All right, the trivia won't be wrong. It's pretty straightforward this time around. There should be zero qualms.
Oh, no, I'm just playing around.
No, it's not you. It's Will in the chat just stirring trouble.
I see.
So
distracted.
So the Jetsons takes place in the year 2062.
That's when the show takes place.
Yes, it is a great trivia question. So keep all this in mind. It takes place in 2062, and it is a lot of ways. I've read several articles in preparation for this where they're talking about how this was more than a cartoon show, and there's a lot that this show kind of was cutting edge in showing when it came to technology. So I wanted to look at in celebration of his birthday, I wanted to look at what technology this show predicted that is now everyday technology for us. So I'm going to read through. There's five specific things that were pointed out. There's certainly room for more things, but here's this, according to this article, I think is a really fun five modern technologies the Jetsons accurately predicted 60 years ago. Okay. So the first one is video calls. You guys all know, like right away, right at the very beginning of the first episode, you're seeing these video calls happen between George and his boss, Judy, the daughter, and their mom.
Can I say the boss's name?
Let's not say any characters' names just yet, because there is trivia surrounding it. But you see them using it's commonplace in that they're just talking to a screen. They don't have there's no contraption surrounding it. There's just a screen in front of them. They're talking. They're being able to be seen. They're seeing someone else. Obviously, nowadays that is very, very commonplace. What we're doing right now is clearly an example of that. The next one is personal assistants. So they have a robot. That we'll just call a robot right now in the show. That's
not a robot.
I'm not saying her name.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's a robot in the show.
Okay. Sorry. I misunderstood what you're saying.
Personal assistant is like the family's maid. Right. And so a few weeks ago, I talked about being at this sushi restaurant where a robot served us our drinks and brought us our dessert, right? Like, this is very much a thing. And if you extrapolate that even just a little bit more, yes, we don't necessarily have robots in everyday life walking around, doing our laundry, making our bed and all that stuff. But if you think about our, you know, Alexa and Google and Siri and all of these personal assistants, these robots that we get to do things for us. It's pretty crazy how accurate that was in the process. Yeah. The third thing is smartwatches. Something you see towards the middle of the first season is George constantly is getting work calls from his boss, and their little video chats that he has with his, and audio chats that he has with his watch. Obviously, I mean, it's on my wrist right now. Like, these things can do so much more than just take calls. But one of the things that we do is answer and make phone calls from our watches now. And so, on top of all that, obviously what smartwatches can do. This other one, that this was surprising to Becca when I read this one, but food printing. That they print food in the show. They ask for food and it produces it in front of their eyes and then they eat it. That's obviously that's something that is very, very possible nowadays. They have edible printing materials and they can 3D print just about anything.
You can also,
and,
by the way, unfortunately, print onto our food, they have edible ink as well. Sorry, go ahead.
That is true.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, our 3D printing of food is not quite as cool as the Jetsons is yet, but we'll get there eventually.
We'll get there.
We'll have like replicators like Star Trek eventually, you know, we want, just dial it in.
Again, the show takes place in 2062. So
space,
we've got 40 more years to perfect all of this stuff before it has predicted it for us. and then five, the final one in their list is space tourism. 20, like we definitely don't have people, you know, every day, you know, shooting up to the moon, back and forth, taking, you know, field trips, but we do have in 2023, we have the very first, space tourism flight scheduled where we're going to send people into space and they're going to orbit. And where are they going? Blue Origin is taking like regular missions right now, sending people into orbit to get people used to this idea of being able to travel, not just internationally, but interstellarly.
I was going to say, technically, you already have space tourism because those trips are already happening. It's just seeing those become more regular and seeing how much further they will go.
Potentially landing Moana. Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moana. That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. So that's all of the kind of fun connecting, like the stuff that they did. I'm gonna ask a 10 question trivia thing surrounding the topic of the Jetsons.
Okay. And this will not be available to people listening on the podcast. So if you want to catch trivia when we do it on the show, you have to tune into Twitch, twitch.tv/MO1podcast. And so we will be right back after this trivia.
What a fun episode. Community effort. Way to go, guys.
Good job, y'all.
Girls.
You can, everyone. Yeah. Gender neutral grouping of people.
He's working on everybody. He'll get there.
I think we're going to call this one done, though. There was a lot that we covered. We did a lot of fun stuff. Show and tell was a plentiful in this episode, but we do need to roll our dice so that we know what we're talking about next week. Next week, we should all be back in our normal setups with our normal gear. And sadly, I won't be in Florida anymore, but I will be back at my normal desk with everything. But for now, let's roll some dice to figure out what we'll be talking about when we get there. So Lauren, why don't you kick us off?
I left my thing with the actual thing on my other computer. So I'll look up the numbers later. So
okay.
For now, I got a 5 and a 3.
Okay.
14 Patrick. And a 2.
14 and 2. And I got a natural 20. So I don't even need to roll.
Oh, nice. So great. Yeah. Amazing.
I hope everybody was happier with the trivia this time around. I tried to make sure that it was non-abrasive.
I'm going to be honest, like, I feel like we got like a C on that, right?
I think you probably got a B minus at least.
Lauren did scoop up one of the bonus points we needed. So for a property that I haven't watched in
20 years, 30 years,
5 years. I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can find all the show notes and links to the stuff that we talked about in this episode over at mof1.network. If you did not watch this live, then you missed out on the trivia portion, and you can catch that next time when we go on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/mof1podcast. Yeah. You can chime in every week. When we do things live, we have multiple shows that we air different times during the week. The best way to know when that's happening is just follow us on Twitch. You can also subscribe on Twitch. It doesn't have to cost you anything. If you're already an Amazon Prime member, just throw your Prime subscription to us once a month, and it doesn't cost you any money, and it helps us out a little bit. Rate and review the show on all the different platforms, and we will read it on air. We promise. We love doing that. Haven't done one in a few weeks. We'd love to read another one. So pop on there and just drop a review on Apple Podcasts, and we will read it in whatever words or in whatever voices you ask us to read it. Follow us on social media at MOF1Podcast everywhere, and you can also join the conversation on Slack. We've been posting stuff in there through this whole episode, and that's the best way to stay in contact with us throughout the week.
We do have a new review, by the way.
Do we?
You may know who it is, though. He's love the show. Excellent show. Quality content. The barbecue episode was easily the best. 5 stars, and his name is the Brisket King.
Can I make a guess? Can I guess that this is a person who just talked to Lauren on his own show? Is that Biggie Sandwich Boy?
But he would
say
Biggie. He wouldn't say Brisket King.
I'm wondering if it could be the guy that was on the barbecue episode.
Yeah, like someone you talk to? Yeah.
Wait, like John?
Or about?
I'm asking if it could be John.
Okay, I was thinking that it was Biggie just because it was food and it's Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he would just say it was him, if I think, though.
It could be John Sorrell.
And John, that's, if you're out there. Hi.
That's a throwback, if that's true, because that's been a minute. That's been a hot minute.
I'm
going to
be honest. I don't even know if that episode is still published. it
may have had to be taken down. That was early on. Amazing. I will say. So, okay. Well, thank you. Whoever you are, John, Biggie, unknown.
Or just some guy that likes meat, and that's fine.
Someone just likes meat. But you too can drop some reviews over at Apple Podcasts. It's Share the Wealth. It's super helpful. And then share the podcast with people. Let people know you're listening. If you don't like it, well, why are you still listening?
Yeah.
At this point in the episode, if you don't like what you're listening to, that's on you. Like, don't tell people. But if you are still listening, share that you're listening because you like listen to what you're what we're throwing out there.
I mean, if you don't like the content, listen to enough that you might like it. Like, maybe you didn't listen to enough, but then if you listen to enough and you still don't like it, then maybe you should stop listening because you clearly didn't like it.
Yeah, and maybe you just don't know yourself well enough. Yeah. On that note, we're gonna jump out of this episode. You can find me at Andrew Sale with threes instead of E's. Lauren.
You can find me at Not Cool Co. everywhere and Chicago this weekend.
Okay, Patrick.
And you can find me at The Brisket King.
For now, we're going to get out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace out.
Adios.
Bye-bye, birdie.